Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you. Amen. Well, all week long, the church has been alive with crafts and laughter and singing and lots of snacks, as Mike mentioned, and hundreds of children. It has been loud, it has been chaotic, but it has been holy. You know, VBS is not just the week of, it is so many months of preparation and time spent leading up to it. And I'm so grateful for all those that have poured out of their hearts and their time. Mike mentioned Laura and Jen and Jennifer, who were sort of spearheading it this year. But, you know, you have Tanya, who did registration, and she had lots of spreadsheets, and she had lots of friend requests to try to make happen. And we're grateful for her. And Lane got to spend all of the time in the spreadsheets that she really loves, but making sure Carline worked perfectly. And so many volunteers in the office cut out so many crafts and prepped them for the kids. And Angie helped them as she gave them directions of what that should look like. And Ashley counted up and did all the math for how many snacks we would need and made sure that we had everything. And Ernest learned all of those dance moves. Weeks in his office dancing. And Miss Beth is always so wonderful with telling all the stories. And the science guys, Logan and Robert, were there. It's not VBS unless you light something on fire. We do that outside, though. And Anna Beatty Scheidler, she was so great at managing all the volunteers. I think we had more youth volunteers than ever before, which is a wonderful thing to have all those youth in our building, and she just did such a great job. So just, I hope I haven't missed anybody, but thank you so much to all of you who poured out all of that time and effort into Vacation Bible School. It really makes it what it is. And, you know, I just wanted to share a few stories, a few highlights from Vacation Bible School, and these are things that we just see the week of, they're made possible because of all of that work that goes ahead. As I was loading kids into the car each afternoon, I would kind of ask them about their morning, ask them their favorite part. And one girl stood out to me this week. She ran out with this huge smile on her face, and she said, "I made 4 friends." And that's what she was most excited about for Vacation Bible School. A little girl told Beth that this was her 2nd VBS this summer, but that this one is way better. And I have to ask forgiveness because we take a little pride in that our VBS is good. Ella Packard invited a friend who had never been to a VBS before and really didn't know what to expect. But she went home and told her mom about the sweet grandma that helped her in crafts, about the teenagers that danced with her, about how everyone was so kind, how they saw a play about Jesus. And she told her mom, "Thank you for signing me up." We had kids showing up on day 2 and 3 because their friends had gone to day 1 and told them how much fun it was and that they should come, and so they did. And even though I get a little grief about it from some of the ladies, it makes me really happy when new kids register on day 1, 2, and 3, because that just sort of adds to our numbers. It's really important that we don't turn anyone away, that everybody can come and learn about Jesus. And then we have the Martinez family. Can we show that picture? This is Keisha Martinez, and that's her mother-in-law, Marilyn. And then she has her youth daughter, Noah, and then 2 little boys who come. This is the 6th year that they've participated in VBS here. It's the 4th year that Marilyn has flown in from Wisconsin every year just to help with Vacation Bible School. They do it as a family. And Keisha admitted to me that they usually go to about 4 Vacation Bible Schools every summer. But she said that this is the one that she thinks is the most impactful for them as a family, that she can really feel the Holy Spirit present in all of the activities, and that everyone is so kind. And that's why we do Vacation Bible School, so that the kindness, the love, and the grace of God that we all know and experience can flow through us to others. And this year, the theme was road trip, as you saw, and the kids learned that everywhere they go, God is with me. And that's a great message, not just for the kids. No matter how old we are, sometimes we find ourselves on roads that we didn't ask for, on trips that we didn't plan. And when we're worn down or unsure, it is so helpful to know that God is with us. That God isn't just waiting for us at the destination, but that he is walking with us every step of the way. So today we're going to take a deeper look at one of the stories that the kids heard this week, and it fits beautifully with our summer series, Hidden Gems, because it's a part of the Exodus story that sometimes gets skipped. When we think about the Exodus story, we might think about the 10 plagues, or we might think about the parting of the Red Sea, because those are big, miraculous, unforgettable moments. But between those headline miracles is this quiet, powerful passage that teaches us a truth that I think we need, that the long road isn't always the wrong road. The truth is, this is not just a passage for story time at Vacation Bible School. It is for all of us grown-up travelers as we try to figure out how to follow a God that we can't always see on roads that we didn't always choose. So we're going to read from Exodus chapter 13, verses 17 to 22. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was nearer. For God thought, if the people face war, they may change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people by the roundabout way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of the land of Egypt prepared for battle. And Moses took with them the bones of Joseph, who had required a solemn oath of the Israelites, saying, God will surely take notice of you, and then you must carry my bones with you from here. They set out from Succoth and camped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. The Lord went in front of them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them along the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, so that they might travel by day and by night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So let's have a little geography lesson. Can we throw up that map? Now, if you look at a map, the direct route from Egypt to Canaan is the northern route. It's known as the Way of the Sea, and it sort of hugs the Mediterranean coast, and it leads straight into Canaan. It is the fastest way from point A to point B. But that's not the path God chose. You see the red line there? He led them south toward the wilderness of Sinai, way out of the way. It's like if you needed to go to Dallas from Houston, but first you went to Corpus Christi. And I was thinking about that route as I was reading this week, and I remembered the trip that my dad made during Hurricane Harvey. Before Harvey hit in 2017, my mom left her house in Bay City, about 90 miles south of here, Bay City, not Bay Town. And she went to Spring to be with my mother. She went to Spring to be with her mother, my grandmother, during the hurricane. That was her plan. And my dad stayed home to take care of the house. That was his plan. Well, God had other plans. So my mom and grandmother ended up wading out of chest deep water as her house flooded. And thankfully, our friend Chad had a very high pickup truck, and he and Steve went and got them. Bay City brought them to my house. Bay City ended up with a mandatory evacuation order, so Dad left, and he thought he'd go west to San Antonio because he has a brother there. But then he just really felt something, I think the Holy Spirit, telling him that he needed to be with us. He needed to be where my mom was. And so this was his journey. He left Bay City. He got to Brenham. But then he went over to Conroe. But then 45 into Houston was closed. So he went all the way up to Huntsville. And then he went west to Livingston. And then he went south to Dayton. And then he took 90 over to Crosby, and then Crosby to Huffman Road to 1960, Crosby Huffman Road to 1960, and then finally over the bridge into Humble and made it to my house. It was hundreds of miles, this very roundabout way. It took him 14 hours to get from Bay City to my house, normally about an hour and 45 minutes trip. And he said that there were a couple, he admitted when I asked him to tell me the story last week, and my mom was sitting there, and he was like, yeah, there were a couple parts. It was like 2 to 3 foot water. I'm really surprised I made it. She was a little upset that he didn't tell her that at the time. But he said that God was really watching over him that day, and he knew that. Just as God was really watching over the Israelites, as he took them on this long, crazy, roundabout way. We look at the map and it makes no sense. But God knew that the problem with the northern route was that it was heavily guarded. In the text, it's called the Philistine Road, or the Way of the Philistines. That's actually sort of an anachronism. It was later edited to be the Way of the Philistines, but at the time, it was just fortified by Egyptians. It is where the Philistines ended up camping out after they were driven from Canaan. But at the time that the story happened, that they were actually journeying, the Philistines weren't quite there yet. But the Egyptians were, and it was a heavily fortified road. Now, those armies aren't really a problem for God. I mean, in a minute, he's going to part the Red Sea, right? So we know that if he wanted to, he could deal with the armies. But this is the hidden gem, I think, in our scripture. God knew their hearts. If we read verse 13, it says, if they face war, they might change their minds. Remember, these people were just slaves in Egypt. They were newly freed, recently traumatized, not yet a nation, not yet formed as God's people, certainly not yet ready for battle. So God led them into the wilderness, not as punishment, but for protection. That southern route was unfamiliar, it was longer, but it was empty of enemies. It was a space for them to rely on God, to grow and to heal. It was harder, but it was safer for their souls. The long way is not always the wrong way. So maybe you felt sometime in your life like God took you on a detour that you didn't ask for. You prayed for healing, and instead came a really slow recovery. You prayed for resolution and got more questions. You prayed for direction and found yourself waiting. This week, a friend said something that stuck with me. She said, I'm not worried about the outcome. I know God has that, but I want to know more about the journey. How long is it going to take? Will it be painful? Is there anything I can do to make it better? Want to see the map, right? And that's so honest. Wouldn't we just love to know what to expect and what to watch out for? That would be great, but I think what we have is even greater. We have God's promise that he is with us on every step of the journey. And that's what Exodus 13 is about. The Israelites had just seen God do the impossible. They had proof of his power, but they still didn't know what the road ahead would bring. And God didn't hand them a map. He gave them himself. Verse 21 says, the Lord went in front of them, not waiting at the end, in front. He gave them a cloud by day, a fire by night, a visible reminder that they were not alone. They couldn't see the next 100 miles, but they could see the next step. And sometimes that's all we get, but it's enough. I do admit that the Israelites had something that we probably wish we had. They had that visible sign of God's presence. They had the pillar of cloud and of fire. But they didn't know where they were going. But they knew that God was leading them. So here's the question for us, I think. What is your pillar of cloud or fire? How is God showing up in your journey? And maybe it's not dramatic or glowing. Maybe it's subtle. Maybe it's a verse that continues to rest on your heart. Maybe it's that friend that calls or shows up at just the right time. Maybe it's a wave of peace after a hard conversation or a closed door that you later realize was God's protection. God is still guiding us. We just need to learn to recognize the way his presence shows up in our everyday life. So take time this week to name your pillars. Are you following the signs or are you fighting the route? Ask God to open your eyes to where He's already leading you. It might just be a small light in the wilderness of shadows, but there are ways that God speaks to us. The promise of Exodus 13 isn't that we will get a map. The promise is that we will never walk on our journey alone. And maybe you're here today and you feel like your life has taken the long way around. It's not what you pictured. It's not what you hoped for. Maybe you're tired of trusting a journey that you don't understand. But hear this. God isn't just at the finish line. He's in the everywhere. He's in the waiting. He's in the wandering. He's in the detour that seems like a setback. Because just like He knew the Israelites' hearts, He knows your heart. Remember Romans 8, 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. And so just like we told the kids, just like they learned all week, God is with you everywhere you go. Let us pray. Gracious and guiding God, thank You for being the one who goes before us, the cloud by day, the fire by night, that steady presence in every winding road. Lord, we confess that we often long for shortcuts. We want clear answers and easy routes. But You, Lord, are more concerned with shaping our hearts than speeding our journey. So help us trust You when the path is long or when it is unfamiliar. Help us remember that You are not just the God of the destination. You are the God of this step, this mile, this moment. Open our eyes to our own pillars of cloud and fire. Open our eyes to how You are leading us through people, through Scripture, through silence. And may we walk forward with courage, not because we know where we're going, but because we know who is going with us.